Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today's guest is Seema Alexander, and she is co-founder of Vergent AI, founder of Disruptive CEO Advisory, and co-chair over at DC Startup Week. Seema, welcome to the show.
Adam, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you.
All right. A great topic and a great point to start. So moving from AI curious to an AI-powered business / organization to drive more impact, and who doesn't want to drive more impact? So I guess let's get us kicked off here. How did you link, AI with driving impact? Because these are two important, top of mind things. Where did that start with?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, this is a great question. My entire career, I've been focused on entrepreneurs and growth, and specifically disruptors, right? So people who want to change the world, who want to make more impact. And I always have a mantra, impact and profit. It's more of as you can create your organization in a way that's sustainable and you can become sought after, you can do more in the world. And specifically with your mission, which you're all about, right? You can actually make it happen, right? And so for years, I ran an advisory company for 10 years, and I have a very specific formula for growth where I see entrepreneurs failing or staying stagnant. So you work with a lot of entrepreneurs on this, or have listened and have brought on a lot of entrepreneurs on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And so you probably know the numbers, right? 18 to 24 months, 80% of entrepreneurs or businesses fail. Then you get to that 5-year mark and 50% fail, and then 10-year mark. And literally that's been my focus for a long time.
I'm still working. I got 2 more years before that 10. We're looking pretty good, Seema, but you never know. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's beautiful because all businesses evolve,
you
right? You never know, right? Because you're going to be fine. But I'm just saying, for me, it's like, I've learned that when you first start your business, there's so many learnings, right? And so you have to kind of step back and really focus on analyzing who you were when you first started is never where you end up. So you have to create sort of these informed decisions to figure out how you're uniquely positioned in the market and refine your business model. And really that helps accelerate your growth, right? And so back to your question of how AI and impact came to play, the last 4 years, I've worked with thousands of founders in all types of industries, but emerging technology has become a core focus of mine. So many in the Web3 space and then in AI. And about 2 years ago, I was asked to advise an artificial intelligence development environment called Magic ML. And that's when everything, Adam, started to connect for me in terms of, wow, we are in one of the biggest industrial technology revolutions in our generation, right? And the power of AI, AI has been around, machine learning has been around, for a minute, right? People have been working on this stuff, but with the advent of the large language models, so we have the ChatGPTs and the Bards and all the things in the world, and then generative AI, so you can literally talk to text to create an image, and all these things that are happening so quickly, the whole paradigm of business is starting to change. And so as I started to think about what this power of AI can do for unique customer experiences to actually take away some of those mundane tasks with something we call AI agents. So humans will have more agency to focus on the things that matter, to focus on the things that help really build their impact in their business, and not have to do as much of the sort of the other pieces of the business that we know, what we call ourselves, like generative in chief, because there's so much to do. So I know that was a little bit of a long story, but I'm bringing it back to the AI and impact.
And so where do businesses start with this? Because now you're knee deep in the space. You obviously been working with founders and entrepreneurs for a long time in many different ways, as you mentioned, but now that AI, which makes sense because you're in the middle of what is most important right now. So it makes sense for your skill set. So, it all aligns and it makes sense to me. Where should business owners be thinking about as they prepare for this technology revolution?
Yeah, we've done a lot of market research, a lot of market insights on sort of where founders are. And, going back to this whole wow, there was the Industrial Revolution when, like, the cars and electricity, all the things, and it took like hundreds of years to implement, right? Then we had digital, like the digital era, and I don't know your age, but I can age myself because in the 90s, it's like when the internet was rising and, you know, social media and Google Ads, all the things started to occur. But it's still like, you know, it's tens of years to get the digital quote unquote transformation happening for folks, right? But when you think about AI, especially after, you know, basically ChatGPT hit the market, now AI has gone from implementation from years to months. And this is where it puts a lot of founders and sort of industry leaders in this like dilemma. I call it like, it's a conundrum because they're like, I get it. Some most see it. They're like, you know, I can see the power in some of this. Some are still what we're calling AI curious, right? And it's, and so it's a struggle because there's still uncertainty. It's an emerging tech, right? There's things that are being built out to mitigate safety and all the core things that, all, you know, I'm sure we'll get into in a few minutes. But, you know, when I think about what should a founder first do, just educate yourself, like start to understand that this technology is a game changer. With the internet, you know, how many businesses failed because they were not paying attention to the digital revolution. New categories of businesses occurred, right? So you went from brick and mortar to e-commerce. That was not in existence until the 90s, right? You go from, think about the, I don't know if you all remember, but there was Blockbusters and then there came Netflix. Like, you know, like there was like, you know, Google wasn't around, Amazon wasn't around. So this is even bigger than the advent of the internet. So I'd love to hear your perspective too on it.
The tricky part too on this is going to be that unlike some of the trends you mentioned in the past, like this is just going to be so much faster that people don't quite understand that they don't have a choice. I'll give you one example, and you may or may not be aware of this example. I haven't met too many people that were, and actually I think this is the first time I'm talking about it on the podcast. I've talked about it in like my circles and internally, but so we do a lot of publishing is one of the things we do as well. So obviously podcast production, all that, but publishing authors. And I've been grappling with this. I released a book last year with another co-author, and I've been grappling with this concept of like, should we do more of our books in our catalog and in audiobook form? Because I know the numbers, there's less than 4% of books out there, depending on whose numbers you read, that are in audiobook form. So I'm like, oh, that's another way for us to reach our audience, right? We're good in audio. We have the capability.
Absolutely.
So we spent probably the last, I don't know, let's call it, it wasn't a big project. So it took 3 months. It could have been faster, but let's say it's 3 months. It took us to do it, our first audiobook. Then I get an email, and obviously we have the production capability. We have all that. Like that's our business. It doesn't matter. Not that we do a lot of audiobooks, but we do a lot of audio production for podcasts. We've released, you know, over 7,000 episodes. So that being said, I get this email from Amazon because we publish so much with them, and we're at another tier for a beta that they're having. And this beta was to start bringing our catalog into audiobook form. And it was going to cost us $0. It was going to be AI generated in terms of the voice. There was a ton of voices to choose from. And let me tell you how funny this is. I'm like, I don't want to be in the studio. Last thing I need to do is to be doing more recording. I'm fine. I got enough interviews. I'm busy enough. I don't even want to record it. And even though it's my profession, my own audio book.
Sure.
I'm like, let me give this a shot. I'm telling you, I can't make this up. I had the audiobook version done within 7 minutes.
Okay. Do you understand what
you
just
said? Like, with zero cost, is it a 10? I mean, it's a business book genre. I wasn't going to read it. I was going to read it in a direct manner anyway. So what that means is that every single voice actor out there, that's a big segment of their market. If they had that niche done, anybody that was doing audiobooks now, and it's not even about the money part, it's about the time. So anybody that had, you know, 15, 20 grand to do an audiobook in the past and spend 6 months doing it and do all this other stuff. Maybe the author wanted to read their own book. Are they going to do that? Or are they just going to push a couple buttons and then it's done? I mean, you're signing up for a big. So now that whole industry is done. It's done.
That whole industry.
80% of the industry. And they don't even know it, most of them, because this is just the beta. So Amazon just now, that whole industry is done.
Like, don't.
I know, but think about it. So now they have to focus, they have to pivot, they have to, but it's like, if you're not educated, and that's just one example.
Yeah.
I just want you to, and I just want to reiterate this for your audience. It went from audio, you could take a week, or you could take time to actually have to do it. It's time out
months,
of your time.
Months,
right?
Expense.
Did it in 7 minutes, and it, sure, it sounded professional. I mean, the human voice activations within AI are just getting better and better. The other one, if you think about like people who transcribe like different languages, right? The multi languages, that's another area, like all of a sudden, like, you know, you're not going to need those folks in certain aspects. There's other, like, it's more of like, just educate yourself right now what's occurring, because I've never seen anything happen this fast. And for me, I am very passionate about business. Like, I'm just going to give you a quick little story, a backstory. Mm-hmm. The reason I am so passionate is my parents were immigrants from India, came here with nothing, started the first Indian vegetarian and restaurant in Washington, D.C., and it grew, travel agency and like a couple restaurants. But
that's
in the
amazing.
90s, it was amazing. And I started working when I was 12, and I just understood, like, this is like small business. You know, when you're in it, you're in it. But we went from doing really well to close to bankruptcy in the 90s. And when I started getting into the world of AI, and business growth has always been the reason I'm such a proponent, is because I am very empathetic to a founder who works really hard in their business, but doesn't understand how to amplify it externally. And that's what I'm very good at. But with AI, it reminds me of my parents' business, because that was the rise of the internet, and they did not get on the Google search, the ads, the keywords, the social media bandwagon, right? But their competitors did. You see what I'm saying? So, like, for me, this is that moment for a lot of businesses to really just start to get going back to where your question was, educate yourself, start playing with these out of the box tools, right? Start to think about, like, what are some pain points in your business, or get an expert, like, you know, like what we do, because it's more of like the things that are, you have to really think about in your business is what's going to be like safe, right? And allow for the highest value, highest impact for the investment that goes into, you know, these opportunities. But you have to look at return on investment differently. Like, AI is going to change business models. It's going to change the ability to, you know, actually, can I give a couple other use cases?
Go
are you cool with
it,
that?
Of course.
So these are interesting. These are just things that I find fascinating. So think about customer service, right? I actually did a pitch last week, and it was really fun, because I was like, I was on the Intuit, the MailChimp, I'm just going to call them out, the MailChimp website, right? And I was like, I had a question around integration for something. And you ask the chatbot today, and it's like, hey, is it related to these four questions? Because chatbots, that's how they work. You know, you filled out some form, and it's like, it might be like this. That was like whatever the algorithm it was associated to. So you go down this rabbit hole of 15 minutes of just trying to get this thing to tell you what you need, right? Now imagine a scenario if you're on the other side and you go to a website and you ask the question. Not only does it answer for you, but it's like, here's a four other things that you should be thinking about very proactively. If, let's just do this one, if the internet was to go off and like you had to start all over after, you know, just starting this conversation or going into it, an AI agent, a customer service agent, when you get right back on, will remember you, will remember your history, will be like, hey, you know, you're in Florida right now. How's the weather? Like, you know, like it's a completely different experience, and the possibilities are endless because the way this technology is starting to adopt in the mainstream, if you will, the capabilities are out there now.
And I think to me, it's super inspiring because it gives people more choices, but then it also is, it just depends on, you know, like with digitization, there's still people that don't have a website and don't want to do anything online, and it's okay. You know, it was okay. But with this, it just depends on what industry is. It may not be okay for you not to, like, you may not be able to, because things may shift. Like, it can just fall out under your feet. Like, for those companies that I mentioned, like, my guess is as soon as Amazon, like, because most people, a lot, and I shouldn't say most, but they have the bulk of the market for Kindle and for publishing online. So once they are done with their beta and they start sending that email to everyone, like, I feel like the phones for the other for some of those companies might not be ringing. And the pivot part, like you said, maybe they adopt some technology. Maybe they figure out another way to add value in that market with those same resources. I don't mean it's time to close up shop. We're entrepreneurs, right? So we're gonna figure it out. We're going to keep moving. But like to your point, if you're not learning or thinking about it right now, then to wait until those phones start ringing or those leads start or the spend and your return on your investment on that marketing you've been doing, all of a sudden the numbers just flip overnight. That's going to really be, and you find out it's because Amazon sent one email and it's done like that. You don't want to be in that position because then it's hard. It's harder to pivot. It's harder to figure out like what you're going to do next. So 100%. I love it.
Can we talk about the elephant in the room though?
What is that?
Well, you know, I know people are concerned also about jobs, right? Like in AI, right? And any sort of emerging tech, there's going to be a reduction of humans.
We're all going to be delivering food. It's okay. It's okay too much. Fine. It's fine.
No,
I'm okay with it. I'm like, I live in the downtown area. I'm going to go. No.
It's quite opposite. No, I mean, because here's the deal.
Like, oh, you're right. The drone's going to take that one too. Well, that's our next evolution before we start with the drones. And then they can, and then we're just going to be like on whatever, on Black Mirror, and then we're just going to be on treadmills for electricity. I already know. I've seen it. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. No, you're talking sci-fi movies. No, but what I'm talking about is what if you had an AI agent, like say you're in a real estate area, okay? And part of your job is like deep analysis on a portfolio, right?
Yeah.
What if you could train an AI agent to, you know, have that understanding of your analysis, be able to integrate into marketing be able to like integrate into like, okay, here's previously the deals that we liked and why we didn't like them, and like whatever the set in stone sort of like criteria and softwares to help you make that analysis happen, right? But then it gives it, what we say is like, it's like your number two, so that now becomes like your junior analyst. And now that allows you to make decisions faster with more precision, so you can actually run your business better. So it's more of this productivity can 100x because you're not dealing with the stuff that these agents, which are either semi-autonomous, eventually will be fully autonomous, kind of running for you. They're your assistants in a lot of ways, right? So it's just thinking about like the capacity of human agency being able to be more creative, work on larger complex things because you have these tools with you, around you, for you, right?
Talk to me a little bit about your, obviously I know that Vergent AI, that's your one of your primary focuses, but I saw some of the other things that you're involved in, like DC Startup Week, and I'm just curious overall, like your thoughts on community, because it seems to me like you're not only obviously great at what you do, but you're a community builder within these different networks and startup communities. Am I off on that?
You know, you're exactly on point. Here's the reality. I think if any entrepreneur is listening and you're on a mission, entrepreneurship is lonely. Like it is, it's one of the most like, it's like, you know it, right? You work on, I heard, by the way, your creds, mission matters, like what you guys have done with your platform. I mean, it takes a lot of work, right? But it's like unbelievable how much inspiration and impact you're making, right? But you're doing a lot of that with yourself or a lean team. I don't know your background, but it's like, you forget, like, I'm like, it is a lonely thing, especially when you're trying to disrupt something, go after something, and there's like the naysayers or whatever it may be. So for me, actually, after college, I moved to New York. I actually worked in corporate for 13 years, learned a lot about repositioning and growth and strategy, and then started my own advisory practice. But I ended up back in DC 7 years ago. And when I came back to DC, it was really interesting because I was like, everything here is like government contracting or like politics. And I'm like, where are my innovators at? Like, where are my entrepreneurs? And I was like, I got asked to speak actually at DC Startup Week. It was their third year in. And I got there and I was like, oh my God, this is my tribe. But I was like, I'm a growth person. I know how to grow companies and brands. I was like, I quickly got involved with the organization and then became the co-chair several years ago with Rachel Bresky. And we've grown the organization is 15,000 plus local entrepreneurs, investors, ecosystem builders. We do a major 5-day conference every October. And we're talking 150 like content from early stage, growth stage, AI, Web3, CPG, you name it. Like, we have 10 different tracks, 300 speakers, keynotes. Like, we've had Steve Case. This last year, we had Brett Schulman, the CEO of Kava, Seth Goldman. Like, we're going after the big things. And our ultimate vision is to create the South by Southwest of the Mid-Atlantic. So working on that, but community is everything. When you're an entrepreneur, you need to celebrate with people. You need to be able to share your challenges. You need relatability. And our goal is to create these pockets and constant opportunities so you don't feel alone and that you can disrupt and you have a community to help and support you as you need it.
Amazing. Well, Sima, this has been great having you on the show today, and I'm so happy we were able to have this conversation. If somebody is listening to this or watching and they want to learn more, connect with you or any of your brands, what's the best way for them to do that?
I would actually love if they go to Virgent, VIRGENT.AI, and there's an amazing free download guide where you gives you the foundations of how do you move from an AI curious to an AI-powered business. And it will just give you the foundational insight and start to educate you, because that's our number one goal, is starting to educate people about what's happening right now and the impact it's going to have on business and the opportunities you have to make a bigger impact.
Just wonderful. And for everybody watching, we'll put all that information in the show notes. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with us, this is a daily show. Each and every day, we have new entrepreneurs, new executives, new thought leaders that we're bringing on. And we don't want you to miss anything. So hit that subscribe button, because we have, again, it's a daily show each and every day. We don't want you to miss anything. And Sima, thank you so much. It was amazing meeting you, and I wish you much more continued success.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Adam. Really appreciate it.